Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Berhantu with me, Hafiz Rahman. Thank you so much for listening and making Berhantu your choice of podcast for anything horror. I'm trying my best to record this episode without having to stop. This is actually my third time trying to record this episode because the first two times I was being rudely interrupted with the sound of my window pane going like that. So annoying. Okay, tak apa. It's time check 1:37 in the morning. Ini kerja gila, but I do this for you guys. Alright, so I want to share with you this story about a lady who sent me an email and who called herself Noor. And this is something that happened in her Tampines house, alright? Tampines Street 72. Wah, wah, wah. But I won't tell you the block. Itu je aku nak cakap korang, okay? It happened in Tampines Street 72, alright? So I'm just going to read to you the email. It's in great detail and it's quite creepy. So this is for my Tampines folks, alright? No shared that, I've been meaning to write to you for the longest time, but have only gotten the time now, so let's start. The stories I'm about to share happened to me and my family while I was still staying at my parents' place. I have since moved out a few years back after getting married. My parents have been staying in Tampines 700 plus since the block was built. We are the first occupiers of the unit and fortunately my parents are still living there enjoying their retirement. So the earliest disturbing memory I had while living there was around the time when there was development plans in clearing the forested area for IKEA. Yes, the huge IKEA in Tampines. Is it IKEA or is it IKEA? Okay, never mind, doesn't matter. That Swedish shop. While relatives and friends were telling us to be careful as this quote-unquote things had to find a new quote-unquote home, we remained skeptical, alright? So that was until something happened to me while I was praying. And I remembered taking my wudu and preparing myself for Maghrib prayers like I usually do. So my dad was in the living room and my younger sister was at the dining table finishing up her homework. And my mom was out with her friends, alright? So it was just me, my sister and my father. Also, something to note, alright? My neighbours are mostly non-Malay and non-Muslims except for the family at the other end of the block. While I was finishing up my second raka'at in my second sujood, I heard a female voice calling my name as clear as day. I remember it came from the top corner of my room. So I instantly froze and couldn't do anything. The voice was clear and it instantly gave me chills. I was young and only 14 years old, so can you imagine the horror? I turned cold and I thought this was God's way of testing me. Well, I clearly failed because I left my room without any hesitation. So my dad was on the couch with his tasbih when I told him. Ada orang panggil kakak. He was confused initially. He was like, huh? And I said again, ada orang panggil kakak. I repeated as if he didn't get me the first time. So he reassured me and he said, no lah, cannot be lah. Must be your neighbor lah, Auntie Jenny. So being the adamant kid, I actually reasoned, no, cannot be because Auntie doesn't know my full name. She usually call me kakak and my sister adik. And how can her timing be so apt to know I was in my room at the exact moment? So my dad remained quiet and told me to solat again, which I did, in my parents' room, with my dad accompanying me. I remember crashing my sister's room for a few nights until I didn't feel as scared. So this was the first thing that happened to her, okay? And then the second thing that happened to her was quite messed up, okay? So the next episode happened when I was about 15 years old. I remember this very clearly because my parents still talk about this. It was slightly after 5 p.m. when I made my way home from school. It was weird going home early from school because I would usually lay park with my friends near school or explore Tampines until late. But on that day, I went home earlier than usual because I wanted to be budak baik. I thought it'll be good being home early for a change. But tengok apa jadi. So, my block has a multi-purpose hall, alright? And when you're in a certain area of the MPH, you can clearly see the windows to my parents' room, the master bedroom and the kitchen. So as I was walking, I saw the master bedroom light being turned on. So I was very happy lah because that means my dad was home. My dad works shift and was supposed to work on that day and it was too early for my mom to be home anyways and my sister had her CCA on that day. So I made my way up and then I unlocked the door. Are you guys ready? Sumpah Hafiz, all the lights, radio, TV, everything was switched on. Even the iron on the ironing board was blinking an orange light. Anything that had a switch or an on button was switched on. I beri salam the first time with no response. I beri salam the second time, hoping my dad could hear me better. Still no response. So confused, I went to the master bedroom, being greeted by no one. I returned to the living room and see Bodoni thinking the situation was funny, immediately called my dad. So when my dad answered the phone, I said, "Hey Ayah, where are you? Can I kirim something from the kedai?" With the assumption that he went to the toilet after he used the... I mean, I assume that he went to the kedai after he used the toilet, lah, you know? So he was totally shocked and speechless. And he actually asked, "What do you mean? I'm at work. Mana ada pergi kedai?" This 15-year-old clown still thinks her father was joking. Even asking him to sumpah demi Allah. And when he did, I was already at the gate, locking it when the realization hit. I instantly felt the chills and suddenly it wasn't funny anymore. I told him that everything was turned on. The fans, the lights of every room, the TV, the radio, except for the light and appliances in my room. So I don't know, it's because if I listen to ngaji every night on repeat, because my room was the only one that was left untouched lah. Everything else was switched on. I went down, I sat at the multi-purpose hall after being told to stay put as my dad was already rushing home. I called my mom and texted my sister to update them on what happened. So it was madness. So on that same weekend, we actually had an ustaza who's knowledgeable in this area come over and inform us that they, open inverted commas, they were just passing by and thought it was funny to leave everything on. In her words, "Dorang nak kacau aja." So that was the thing that happened to me the second time. This last story was the last thing that happened to her in that Tampines house. So the last story happened when I was slightly older, when curfews didn't exist, and when I was more scared of people than hantu slaughtering at 3 in the morning. So she said it was slightly after 2 a.m. on a Saturday night when I got home. My parents were still awake watching the TV because I remember not feeling as freaked out. So when I turned my back to lock the gate, my eyes darted to the diagonal unit a level below mine. Remember orang tua cakap, mata tak mahu nakal? I think it is to avoid shitty situations like this. So from my eyes, my peripheral view, I can clearly... this is so messed up. I can clearly see a white figure with hair loitering outside my neighbor's unit. I was uncertain at this point. I assume it was a shadow. So again, si bodoh ni khusnuzon and thought it was just the nenek staying there, walking so damn slowly to angkat jemuran at 2 in the morning. So the mansion floor that I was talking about, one floor below me, was mostly occupied by Malay neighbors, right? So being the kepo who doesn't know how to mind my own business, I actually stared for a good 3 minutes. So basically, she said, aku diri kat depan pintu, and I was staring at this thing for 3 minutes, and I realized, number one, that thing is not moving how a human should. Number two, it is definitely not a nenek. And number three, why would a nenek angkat jemuran at 2 a.m? Apalagi, I immediately closed my door and proceeded to bathe. I only told my parents the next day at breakfast, and yes, you guessed it, I got the, "Itulah, balik malam lagi, nasib tak ikut kau, kakak." Also, I'm not sure if it's a coincidence or whatever, but, jeng, 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 the said nenek passed away a week later. Innalillah. So, moral of the story, don't go home too early or too late, I guess. I hope you all have a good read, Hafiz, and I hope to share more stories regarding CDA at Jalan Bahar and Kampung experiences with you and your listeners in the near future. Thank you for your time and have a great week. Assalamualaikum. Waalaikumsalam. Thank you so much, Noor, for that story. You have sufficiently freaked me out because my room is by the corridor. Okay, kalau memang tak kelakar. So yeah, so that's the story I have about Tampines Street 70 something. I don't know whether I said this street just now, but anyways, yeah. I know of that place because a friend lives there. Jeng, jeng, jeng. So, okay, never mind. I'll save that story for another day. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I have more stories coming up in the next few days. Here's hoping, in the next few days. Okay, so good night, everyone. And if you're in Tampines Street 72, be careful. Bye.